This morning, if you are a guest with us, we've been walking through the story of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe over the Advent season in a very real way, giving a contemporary explanation of the gospel, of relating it in words that everyone can understand. And so last week, we looked at it's always winter and it's never Christmas. This morning, as we draw close to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we realize the story is coming to fruition. It's coming alive. Winter is ending. And the reality of the truth of the gospel comes to life for us. And so this morning, we connect with the story by the words written in the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, where we read these words in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet filled with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So far, the reading of God's word. Well, sir, I think I could be brave enough. Do you ever find yourself saying that as you seek to live out your faith? The scene in which you just saw is missing a part. A part that's missing is there's gifts for everybody. And there's cups of tea, lumps of sugar, cream, piping hot tea for everyone to enjoy. And then there's the sword. There's the shield. There's the arrows. There's the little dagger in the potion that is giving to little Lucy. And you may ask, what does this have to do with anything? What does this have to do with Christmas? But let me tell you, it has everything to do with the story of the gospel and everything to do with Christmas. Because as you enter into the Christmas story, there is a huge struggle going on. You'll remember when Jesus comes to be born, they're under Roman occupation. And it's evident as the Roman soldiers line the street. It's evident in the fact that they needed to leave their home and make a hard, dark journey towards Bethlehem to make sure that they were registered so that taxes could be paid. There was religious problems. You'll remember the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Essenians. There was religious fractions already cracking at the seams. And when Jesus is born and we celebrate in that manger, there's already a target on Jesus' head. Because you remember, Herod asks the wise men, and when they don't come back, he sends out men to get rid of all the young boys in the hopes that he would be able to get rid of Jesus so that nobody would come over for his throne. That's what's going on in the Christmas story. And what we need to understand is that there is a deep spiritual battle for your heart and my heart. And the only thing that would be worse, not understanding that, is to miss the fact that there is a war going on for you and for me. Clinton Acton would say, Satan is so evident that he interjects into our minds things that sound good but are sinful. He picks those things that we have a tendency towards. Maybe it's greed, maybe it's anger, and he brings them to the forefront. He creates this religious ideal which sounds so good and so wonderful, and yet it's so contrary to the gospel. He affects us with a condition or an illness. He creates events to happen in the world that question our faith. He instills guilt and doubt. And in the midst of the context of that going on in our lives, he says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. How strong is he? The book of John would say this. It would say, the one who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Philippians says that you and I, because of Christ, can do all things. For he is the one that gives us strength. Paul writes in Ephesians 1, I pray that you may know his incomparable great power for us. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. There is a great spiritual battle going on even this Christmas. 35 times in the scripture, he's called the devil. 52 times he's called Satan, the adversary. Genesis 2 calls him the serpent. Revelation calls him the great dragon. John 17, he's called the evil one. Revelation 9, he's called the king of the abyss. He's called the great tempter in the book of Matthew. Ephesians 2, he's called the spirit of evil at work in the world. Jesus calls him a murderer and a liar. And do you notice what happens as he's at work? He begins to deceive Eve. He twists God's word. He opposes those who are at work for him. He fights the angels. He inflicts us with calamities that we may question what's going on in the world. He interferes in the life of the church. And so just as Lucy and Peter and Susan are given tools for the battle, God gives you and I everything that we need that we can stand strong and secure as we live out our faith for Christ. He says, put on the belt of truth. Now, the belt of truth holds everything that the soldier needs for battle. Now, I don't know if it happens anymore today, but what I was reading this week is that years ago, that if you wanted to work at a bank, you would handle bills all of the time. And you would handle a bill so often that you would be able to detect just by the touch whether a bill was real or fake. You would be able to determine the validity of the bill by the feel. You and I need to hold on to the truth of what God says in his word to set the foundation for the rest of our lives. And so that truth, which we see in the sword of the Spirit, which we'll get to in a little bit, gives you everything that you need for life. By knowing the truth of God's word, you and I will be able to know what a biblical man and a biblical woman is to be. We will know what it is to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Because of the truth of God's word, we will understand how God wants us to live, and it will affect how we do church, how we raise families, how we go to work, how we deal with politics, how we deal with calamity. And he says, put on that belt of truth so that you can build on a foundation that will guide and will shape the rest of your life. Then he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. What a great thing. That breastplate covers all of your vital organs. It protects your whole chest area that you would be able to stand and withstand the attacks and the arrows that would come in your and my life. so that you and I would be able to live righteously. Because we are so protected, we can walk in a way that is worthy of the gospel. That is, we would understand what it means to live that truth, and you and I would be able to live that truth and live righteously because we are so protected by the work of Christ. In fact, he goes even farther and he says, you know what's the exciting thing? You don't need anything to do to be righteous because you and I are already declared righteous. You and I are declared holy. You and I are declared just as if we had never sinned because of what God has done for you and I on the cross. And because Christ has done everything you and I need to do in order to be saved, in order to be forgiven, you and I can, in faith, move forward into spiritual battle and live that life worthy of the gospel because Christ has already done everything. And because of that, we can echo the words of one of my favorite old songs. It's called When Peace Like a River or It Is Well, when it says, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and he shed his own blood for my and your soul. And then he says this, where the footwear of the gospel of peace. I don't think we think a lot about our footwear, other than whether it matches or whether it's comfortable to walk in. We don't think a lot of it, do we? We just put on shoes and we go. Now, I know a little bit about this sport, but not a lot. But if you're a soccer player, there's two kinds of shoes you're going to wear. You're going to have futsal shoes, which are really fancy indoor shoes, which are really overpriced. And they give you the traction to be able to run on a gym floor without making any marks, but also giving you the stability to kick the ball well. Now, if you're playing at the dome over here on their turf or outdoor, you're going to have cleats. Because those cleats will give you the footing to be able not only to kick well, but also to maintain your footing no matter what the field conditions are like. And so when the Roman soldier got to wear these shoes, they'd be able to walk farther, walk quicker, walk more securely on the rock-bedded road without having to say, ouch, 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 all the time. And they'd be able to walk forward in the battle. So too with us. The gospel of peace allows you and I to walk into this spiritual battle. That when the attacks come, that when the struggles, when the hardship, when the questions come, that you and I can be so overwhelmed with the gospel of peace that we can rest in the promises, in the security, and the confidence that God will do what he says in his word he will do. And so the attacks will come, but we can rest and we can be secure and we can go into battle knowing that he is with us. And then he says, take the shield of faith with you. The shields that you see were usually 2.5 by 4 feet. They're about the size of a refrigerator door. The average person at this time was said to be about 5 feet tall. So picture a shield that covers almost all of your body. And the arrows, which weren't the little arrows that we would think of, were probably more the size of that of a spear would come. This shield would protect you. And when you lined up like these guys were and you built a wall, almost nothing was going to get through that. And so too in our story, God gives us a shield to fight a battle. It's called the shield of faith. When lies and doubt and insecurity come into our story, we can believe the truth of God's word, and we can live by faith that God is who he said he is, that God does what he says he's going to do, and that he will guard you, and he will protect you, and he will sustain you in the midst of the battle. And then he says, put on that helmet. I don't know any sport where you don't or you shouldn't wear a helmet. And the same is true in battle. It protects it. And that confidence of our salvation being in Christ gives us everything we need to protect our minds from what gets filtered in there so that we could live out our faith. I don't know if you've ever thought about it before. In the battle that is going on in the midst of the story around Jesus' birth, it's finished on the cross. And so as you and I live out our faith and we face rejection, we face persecution, we face struggles, did you know that you fight a spiritual battle not in anticipation of victory, but you fight a spiritual battle from the place where victory has already been obtained. God has already taken care of it. Satan's end is already guaranteed. He eventually will be ultimately thrown into the abyss. And for you and I as believers in Christ, he says that there will be one day, there will be no more sickness, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more suffering, there will be no more death. We've been forgiven. We've been redeemed. We are God's. We are set apart as his children. We belong to him. We're his. And we will live with him for all of eternity. So as you and I fight this battle that is going on for our souls and our minds, we can go in to that battle with the understanding of victory. And then he says this, take up the sword of the Spirit. I don't know how often we think of it, but when we think of a sword, we think of something to go in on the attack with. But have you ever noticed that in a battle, a sword, more often than not, is used in the defensive mode? It is used as another means of protection. And so you and I this morning can take great comfort in that sword of the Spirit, who speaks to us this morning. To those of us who are distressed this morning, when darkness creeps in, that it's not the last word. To those of us that are discouraged, there is victory in Christ. To those of us that are wrestling with one of those struggles or addictions, there is victory in Christ. To those of us that are discouraged, God's word says that there is encouragement and there is refreshment and there is life. And God's word speaks victory to us. So he says, take that word with you. Allow his word to shape and to mold and to cover all of that you are. Winter is ending. You've seen that movie, the grass begins to appear. Spring is beginning to come. Christmas is coming. Take up the full armor of God, he says, that you would be able to stand in that evil day. And so Peter and Lucy and Susan are given tools. And I love that phrase. I'm going to change one word in it, though. Merry Christmas. Long live the King. Merry Christmas. Long live the King who has been crucified, who has risen, who has ascended, in one day will live again. Long live the King who has given you freedom and forgiveness. Merry Christmas. The greatest gift ever given to the world has come for you to set you and to set me free from all of our sin. Take up the armor of God and get ready for battle. Am I going to be brave enough? He'll make you brave enough because he's the king. Would you pray with me? We need your protection and your provision, O God. Without you, we know that we could not stand. We thank you for the present that you give us that is there for a lifetime. We give you thanks for the gift of not only the virgin birth, but of the resurrection. May that story of Emmanuel, God with us, shape us, mold us, and encourage us as we head into this Christmas story. And as we go to celebrate your birth tomorrow night and Tuesday morning, that we would realize the gift that you've given to us. And that just like Jesus, who entered into a world that did not want him, that we too live in a world that still does not want to hear your story. Make us brave enough. May the protection that you've given us in the armor of God surround our hearts and our minds and our souls, that we'd be ready to go into battle and to say, long live the King, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.